worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. Here in my hand this morning is a rock. This rock up when I was in Israel last year, standing there on a cliff overlooking the Dead Sea at a place called En Gedi. And there at En Gedi, a place was just a mountainous region there in the desert of Judea. As I stood there looking across that area, I began to think about what the Bible tells us about En Gedi. And we know that it was the place that David hid from Saul while he was on the run. It was the place where he was hiding in these caves, trying to escape with his life when Saul was pursuing him. And according to the superscription here of Psalm 18, it says, "For the director of music of David, the servant of the Lord, he sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul." And I don't know exactly what time in his life. Obviously, it was a time after he had become king or after he had been delivered from his enemies that he wrote the psalm. But I think that he probably thought back about his days hiding there in the mountains in that region called En Gedi, trying to escape with his life, that he thought back about the words of this psalm. And he uses various metaphors that he piles up to describe some very simple truths. And I want us to look at that a little more closely this morning. And I believe the first thing you notice there in verse 1 is he says very clearly, "I love you, O Lord, my strength." And we must remember the Lord is our strength. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is your strength. What does that mean? Here we see that he's calling out personally to the Lord. It is a cry of his deep love for the Lord. I love you, Lord. You know, this isn't some abstract religion that David has. This is a personal relationship. He says, "I love you, Lord." And notice how often he says, "You're my strength." And every time he uses a metaphor to describe God, "my strong tower, my fortress, my rock," he uses "my," that personal pronoun, to say, "You're my rock. You're my strength. You're my shield, my horn of salvation." And as he does this, what he's really trying to show is this. I believe he looked back on his life at this time when he wrote this psalm, and he was saying, "Lord, you have been so good to me all throughout my life." And how many of you this morning, you can just begin to look back at your life, and you can just say, "God, thank you so much. I love you because you have been there for me all throughout my life. You've taken care of me at so many different times. I look back and I see some of the paths I could have gone down, some of the things that could have happened, but God, I love you because you're my strength. You've been there for me. You've been my support. You've been my strength. You've been my strong tower." And that's essentially what David's doing. And when he says, "The Lord is my strength," what he's saying is the Lord is the source of my strength. The Lord is the source of my strength. And now David was a very poor man when he was on the run. He'd come from maybe a more wealthy family, but during this time in his life, he didn't have access to his flocks anymore, to his father's wealth. He was on the run. He was a one man. Now, he had some people around him, but he was really one man on the run from a very powerful man who had a lot more resources and a lot more men and a lot more at his disposal. And yet, David said, "The Lord is my strength." And why? Because he realized that he really, if you're just talking about numbers and money and everything else and equipment, that he's outgunned. But he realized that God was the one who was his strength, who was his support, who was his sustenance, that everything, every victory that he had, it came from God and not from him. Now, he realized in order to say the Lord is my strength, he had to recognize his own limitations. Let me just ask you this morning. Do you realize your own limitations? Do you understand your own limitations in life? Not only physically, but mentally, spiritually. Do you realize your own limitations when it comes to your wisdom? And I think that if you really want to know, as a believer, if God is really your strength, here's the best test to figure it out. Ask yourself two questions. How much time do I spend in the Word? And how much time do I spend in prayer? I believe your answer to those two questions, how much time do I spend studying God's Word and how much time do I spend praying, will tell you whether or not the Lord is your strength. Because if you believe that the Lord is my strength, then you will get your strength from Him by depending on Him in prayer and by studying His Word to know what to do. The problem for most of us is, and the reason that most of us as believers are so weak, is because we do not depend on the Lord as our strength. Instead, we rely on our own strength. And you know, sometimes our own strength is okay. You know, we have talents. We have abilities. We have education, experience, smarts, skills, you name it. We have certain things, and we depend on those things. And you know, you can get by. You can get by a lot of times depending on your own strength. But here's the problem. Your success in this life will only be as good as your strength. Your success in this life will only be as good as your strength. But if the Lord is your strength, if He is your strength, then listen, you can do anything. With God, nothing is impossible. When we depend on His strength, we have a whole new strength. What God can do, He can do through us because we're depending upon Him, not upon ourselves. And so the problem is that too many people use their own strength. Too many preachers preach in their own strength. Too many pastors study in their own strength. Too many Sunday school teachers teach in their strength. Too many Christian businessmen are trying to run their business in their own strength instead of putting God first. Too many people are trying to raise children in their own strength. They're trying to give an answer in difficult situations in their own strength. They're trying to figure out the best decision-making for their life. And when it comes to finances, when it comes to anything, because they're using their strength, they're using their wisdom, they're not putting God first and saying, Lord, You are my strength. And instead, we have to realize that God, He is our strength. He is the one that we need at all times, and we must depend upon Him. And not only are we talking about in wisdom, not only are we talking about in the way that we do the things that God has called us to do, but I even believe in temptation especially. The problem is that too many people say, I want to live a life that is pleasing to God. I want to live a life that's successful. I want to do the right thing, but yet they're trying to do it in their own strength. Do you know what Jesus said about that? He said, the spirit is willing, but what? But the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. See, the problem is that we're all tempted by sin. And you know, I can resolve in my heart and really desire to do the right thing. Say, I want to make decisions that please the Lord. I want to spend more time studying God's Word. I want to make sure that I just keep focused, that I don't give in to this temptation or give in to that temptation. But when I go out there in the world and temptation, and I begin to confront it and it begins to face me, what I realize is very quickly is that my will is kind of like the wind. Over here, I want to follow the Lord, and then the wind of temptation comes along, and I'm blown off course because I'm very, very weak. But the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Isn't that the way you found it to be in your life? You know, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart, Lord, and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. You know, we're so often blown off track. And you know what Jesus said? When the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. You know the context that He spoke those words in? The disciples were falling asleep there, and He knew they were about to be tempted to deny Him in the garden. You know what He said? Watch and pray. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And the answer then, if we're going to depend on God's strength, is to watch and pray, is to be praying and depending upon our God. And He's the one who's going to help us overcome temptation. He's the one who's going to give us the wisdom to know how to live our lives. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you are able to bear. And when you're tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. And that's a great promise of Scripture. You know, oftentimes it seems like that's not really true, doesn't it? If we're honest. We know that He says, I'll give you a way out when you're tempted. But a lot of times we don't think it's true. But here's the reason we don't think it's true. Because He says, I'll give you a way out. But the reason you didn't see the way out of your temptation is because you weren't looking to the Lord. He wasn't your strength. You were trying to get through it on your own strength, on your own willpower, on your own commitment. And it's not about that. We must depend upon Him. He has to be our strength. And when we realize that, we realize what a strength we have in Him. And we can say like David, I love you, Lord, because you are my strength. You are the one who has helped me to navigate through life's difficult way. The Lord is my strength. And what else does he say there? The Lord is my stronghold. There in verse 2, he uses these metaphors here to depict the image of a stronghold. He says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. These are military images that demonstrate that the Lord is not only our source of strength, but he's also our source of protection. When he says the Lord is my stronghold, he's saying the Lord is my source of protection. And so he says rock there. Some translations have the Lord is my mountain, the Lord is my, even a crag being a kind of a crack in the rock, a hollow place in the rock. And so I believe that refers back to that place at En-Gedi where David was hiding from Saul. And he was hiding in the mountains. And when you go there at En-Gedi and you begin to look around, you realize there are a lot of places to hide. It is filled with natural caves of little gullies and ditches. And you can be standing there. The mountains are so steep, they just rise so fast that you could be standing there on a cliff 40 feet, 100 feet above your enemy. And you know, we read about how David called down to Saul, and Saul, you know, he couldn't do anything about it. He didn't have a rifle. He didn't have a gun. He could see David. There's no way he could get to David. And he says, the Lord is my rock. He's that place. I can stand on him. I can hide in him. And my enemies cannot touch me. He protects me. And I think about what that great hymn, how it used to express this truth. He says, he hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my soul in the depths of his love, and he covers me there with his hand. See, God protects us. He watches over us. He cares for us, and he makes sure that we're protected, that we can find our refuge in him. He's my rock. He uses that expression twice in this passage. He also says, you're my fortress. This is a description of a military fortifications. Has walls and gates that the inhabitants are protected from their enemies. No matter what's happening on the outside, you'll be safe on the inside. Isn't that true of God? If he's really our fortress, if he's our refuge, then if we are planted in Christ, then regardless of what's happening in our life, we're secure in him. He is our source of protection. He's our stronghold. Here he says, he's my deliverer. My deliverer means that the person who, he'll take us wherever we're at and he'll bring us out safely on the other side. Whatever trials you're experiencing in life, listen to this, God will take you. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you know you're about to go through, listen, God will take you and he'll bring you out safely on the other side. If you're facing death, he can deliver through death, even by bringing us safely through death into heaven itself. Sometimes it's just a period of suffering. He'll bring us through that. And as low as we might feel, he'll bring us out on the other side. We'll just keep trusting him. And not only is he my deliverer, not only is he my rock, not only is he my fortress, but he's also, he says, my shield. Take this into battle and you're able to be protected. You're able to withstand the fiery darts that are being fired against you by Satan. Because he's the one who's protecting you. Satan can't get to you. Satan can't harm you. Our children, you know, they're beginning to learn a lot of things. And, you know, Rachel just asked the other day, she said, she's been reading with in the Bible and we've been talking, and she got, like a lot of children do, afraid of the devil. And explained to her, listen, once you know Christ, listen, the devil can't touch you. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. He is our shield. He protects us. And not only that, he says, the horn of my salvation. What does that mean, the horn of my salvation? That probably refers to an animal's horns. And you think about a bull, you think about a goat, and they have these horns on their head. And you don't want to get it. You don't want to get hit by one of those, do you? It's their defensive mechanism. They, you know, a lot of people, they'll take the bull and they'll cut those horns off, right? You don't want to have to deal with those. But what he's saying is the Lord is the horn of my salvation. He's the one who's going to save me by his strength, by his power. He's going to deal with my enemies, not me. Did David ever kill Saul? No, he didn't have to. Because the Lord said, David, I've got your life in my hands. He had the opportunity there in those caves, but he didn't because God had protected him. And he finally says, my stronghold. All of this refers back to this idea of God protecting us. So how does it that God protects us? I'm going to just say three things very quickly about how God protects us. First of all, God protects us in terms of our salvation. Jesus said in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. See, Satan, he may want to take your salvation from you. He may want to take your hope from you. He may want to take your faith from you. He may want to destroy you. But listen, here's the good news is this, that Jesus has already said that when you come to me, once you enter into my fold, I am your fortress. And if you find your faith in me and your rest in me, then Satan can never take you out of my hand. You are mine. You are protected. You cannot lose your salvation. You are eternally secure in Christ. No one can snatch you out of his hand. Not only does the fact that he is our stronghold speak about our security and salvation, it also reminds us that we can run to him when we're under attack. Some of us this morning are weary. Some of us are grieving. Some of us are discouraged and depressed, and you just need to find out what it is you can do to find some relief for your soul. And Psalm 91 expresses this truth very clearly. He says, God, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. As believers, we can come and we can pour out our heart to the Lord, and he will shelter us. He will heal us. He will enable us to recover. But also it reminds us that he'll protect us from temptation. We know that he's our strength. And there's going to be times in your life when you're going to be tempted with sin. And you're going to experience some very difficult temptation. And if the Lord is your strength, he will allow you to be delivered from that temptation, to overcome that temptation. But I also believe that it's very important for us to remember that sometimes we need to use the Lord not only as our strength to overcome temptation, but I believe we need to use him as our fortress so that we do not enter into temptation. You know what Jesus told those disciples? He said, watch and pray that you do not enter into temptation. And they didn't pray that, did they? You know, when Jesus taught us the Lord's Prayer, he says, and lead us not into temptation. I don't know about you, but there's some temptations that I really don't want to face. And I believe that we have a responsibility to pray that not only the Lord will help us to overcome temptation, that sometimes we just won't even experience it. And the Bible teaches that we ought to pray in this way. And in that way, he is our fortress that, you know, that even the temptation cannot get to us. And we must be praying this way. So the Lord, not only he's our strength when we do face temptation, He's our stronghold when in times of trouble. Finally, though, he's also our salvation. Verse 3 there, he says, I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. And what do believers mean when they say, Jesus saves, I'm saved? What do you really mean by that? You know, we use that expression so often that we sometimes forget really what it means. And if someone said, he saved my life, what would that mean? Well, that person, they saved you from death by gunshot wound. They saved you from death by drowning or what have you. That person intervened and kept you from facing what was certain death. Or you know, that person you saved by the bell, right? You know, the bell delivered you. It kept you from getting into trouble. You know, but so saved is really, you know, so you have to have something that you were saved from. And we forget this as believers. David had something he was saved from, and we have something we're saved from. David said, you delivered me from the hand of my enemies. And, you know, like I said, he didn't have to destroy his enemies. He didn't have to take Saul's life. God delivered him. But David also understood that it was not just his own physical life that he was speaking of. Salvation, when he says the Lord is my salvation, or the Lord saved me, he's also talking about something more important. Psalm 16, we see it where he says, for you will leave my soul, you will not leave my soul in Sheol, which is the place of the dead. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. See, the Lord Jesus, he saves us from something. We don't just say I'm saved as if something just happened in our heart and our life. There's something that actually does happen. We're saved from sin. We're saved from guilt. We're saved from death. We're saved from hell. And we're saved ultimately from the grave. The Lord is our salvation. We need to depend upon Him. We need to ask that He be our strength, that He be our stronghold, and that He be our salvation. This morning we sing that hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. That might not be the most familiar song to many of us, but I think it's an important song for this year and for this Sunday. You know, 1517, Martin Luther began the Protestant Reformation. The Lord used him. The Lord was his strength, and he began Protestant Reformation in that 1517, 500 years ago this year. And you know, in 1521, several years after the Reformation had begun, Luther had to appear at a place called Worms, and there's a court, if you will, there that was held, in which Luther was able to defend his views on the faith. And after that meeting, he stood up and he said that he believed in the sufficiency of Scripture alone, that he based his faith in Christ and the Scriptures and nothing else. And there was a bounty put out on Luther's life. And so in 1521 to 1522, for a year, he was locked up in a castle there called Wartburg Castle in Germany, a literal fortress, until the danger on his life had passed. While he was there, he translated the New Testament from Greek into German. And a few years after that, he wrote the song, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. A mighty fortress is our God. He says, I love this line here, did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Doth ask who that may be, Christ Jesus, it is He. You know, if we confide in our own strength, if we depend on our strength is useless. If we depend upon Him, He's able to do great things. You just ask, look at a person like Martin Luther. Some people say that he had one of the greatest impacts on Western civilization than any figure. It wasn't because of him, but it was because of what Christ was doing through him. This morning, some of you need to begin seeking the Lord's strength. You've been depending on your own strength, and you need to find out that He is the answer to your weakness. We have a high priest who is able to sympathize with our weakness and all but one thing. He never sinned like we do. And therefore, if we come to Him, He will give us help in time of need. So some of you just need His strength. Some of you this morning need to take a look to Him as a stronghold. You're going through some difficult times, and you can say, Lord, shelter me, help me, encourage me, lift up my soul. And then there's some of you here this morning who need to know Christ as your salvation. This morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's the need that you have this morning, just pray this prayer with me in your heart. Lord Jesus, I know I have sinned. I know I've done wrong in your sight. I believe that your Son Jesus died on the cross for my sins and rose again. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Please save me and be the Lord of my life. Amen. This morning, if you're here and you prayed that prayer in your heart, I want to invite you to step forward during this time of invitation. If I ask you to share that with me, we can share that with our church, and you can begin to follow after Christ. Maybe you're here this morning, you just need to come and say, Lord, be my strength, be my stronghold, be my help in times of trouble. Whatever you're going through this morning, would you respond in obedience as we sing this hymn of invitation?